It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. This is a first for the 9 years that I've been on the air. There's a listener in New Jersey who wanted to hear the program back there, went back for graduation, a member of the family, and he listens to it usually at UC Santa Cruz. So the telephone is piped in, and the broadcasting setup is there so their family can hear it on the telephone in New Jersey while we're on the air in Carmel, California. Before we get into the question and the motives behind who shot J.P. the second, irreverently, I refer to him as J.P. the second. And those of you who are not familiar with the broadcast and the 9 years of broadcasting, I must say that I strip most public figures down to the occasions of who they meet, where they profit, how they came to power, how they hold the power, who they know, and what are they doing with their lives. I'm not impressed by the oath of office of President of the United States, whether it's Richard Nixon or Lyndon Johnson, or certainly Ronald Reagan, and heads of states and religious leaders, the same goes for them. If they behave like religious leaders, I respect them. And when they're on the fringe of the mob with narcotics, traffic, and gang wars, and international terrorism of their own kind, I like to see what place they fit into those scenes. And I am indeed irreverent. I apologize. Before we get on to the subject of the shooting of John Paul II, I do want to mention a subject which is very close to the research that I've done through the years, and that's the killing off of the culture, the so-called subculture. We refer to the third world, but in this country, it is the music leaders, the message in the music and the musicians that have died off, and I often give a brief mention of the recent ones who have died. Bob Marley died this week. Another voice is silenced. Some people may think he had too much marijuana and it went to his brain. I don't know if he had Jack Ruby cancer or Martha Mitchell cancer. He certainly was an active political activist in every sense of the word in Jamaican politics. He was shot in Kingston in Jamaica in 1976. He lived through that assassination attempt, but he died this week of brain cancer. The same week or the week before he was dying of brain cancer, it was announced in the newspaper Spotlight that David Rockefeller is getting a hush-hush post moving into Jamaica. Tyrol Bay in Jamaica, Montego Bay, is the headquarters for the resurgence of the Nazi movement all over the world after World War II. And David Rockefeller is stepping down, has stepped down as head of Chase Manhattan Bank to move into Jamaica, where William Stevenson of British intelligence and Reinhard Gehlen of German intelligence and Alan Dulles, who formed the CIA, have had a nest of spies in this property owned there by John Connolly and people that worked with Lee Harvey Oswald. Albert Osborne was there. And it's an international nest of spies, and unfortunately, Bob Marley was singing songs of oppression and slavery and a better world right under the nose of these people. Also, another article in the Wall Street Journal, Money Returns to Troubled Jamaica. Now that the election is over and Harvard's hand-picked Siaga was put into power in Jamaica, the powers that be are pouring their money into it. We did this in Chile when Allende was elected. The World Bank, the international bankers, put all their money in to bankrupt the country so that by the time he was murdered, people thought that they would have another shake at a fair opportunity or a job opportunity, which they haven't had in Chile at all, but they got fascism. But the World Bankers pour money in once the undesirable has been killed and or moved out of office. And in this case, they handpicked Mr. Siaga and so that they could begin pouring money in. Another article, Jamaica's bankrolls, the Intermonetary Fund and that group pour money into the election of Siaga. And the Workers' Viewpoint had an article, at least 700 deaths accomplished the takeover. It reminds me of the way we have elections in the United States. It takes about that many under the cover to silence many people, writers, judges, lawyers, political activists, young people organizing in order to get these particular candidates into office. This is the way we do it, and we help them do it around the world. Now, to get to the question of who shot John Paul II, this can't be answered in 1 week, and when there are murder such as Nelson Rockefeller or John Lennon or an attempt on Ronald Reagan's life or on the Pope's life, it usually involves a three-part series to set the groundwork, 3 weeks on the Jonestown affair, and then I update these programs in the weeks that follow or for years to come. But it takes at least 3 hours to set the groundwork on studying these assassination attempts because they get complicated. They're simple and complicated at the same time. If you understand the network, you can untangle it. But as they interweave with each other, it takes that much background for a person new to listening to these broadcasts to get used to my logic or the way I'm thinking. And then through the years, if they follow it steadily, they can put the pieces together and they're on their own figuring it out. Now, on KLRB several weeks ago, that was tape 490, this is 493, it was 4 weeks ago, I mentioned an article in the Washington Post that sounded so ridiculous I almost couldn't read it without laughing. It was called "The Cult Leader in the Area Probed After Threats," and it was about this man with a ridiculous name, Mr. Daspach, Fernando L. Daspach, D-A-S-B-A-C-H, with a German wife, Anna Marie, and they sent out a declaration of war against religion. They have an organization that is linked to the Maharaji. It's an offshoot of the Maharaji group that came into this country in the 70s, and they call themselves the Reagan Bogen Verlag, translated, it's supposed to mean, I don't know German, the rainbow, and they have various priests in saffron robes. And he's come out with the terms of the declaration of war, and he came out with them March the 15th, and Ronald Reagan was shot March the 30th. And he said that in his declaration of war, people will die by tens of thousands and that there will be no Jew on the planet Earth by the year 2001. That's 20 years from now. But he said Reagan will die first. This was March the 15th, 1981, that he'd begin with Ronald Reagan. And then he said Hatfield, Senator Hatfield, would also be killed. Now, in the vote of the Pentagon budget, I believe that everyone in the Senate voted with Ronald Reagan except Senator Hatfield, which was interesting this week because he had mentioned him as the number one target. He said Reagan will die first, and then all heads will roll, but first the heads of the priests. They're the first to be sacrificed. So after he published this, two weeks, Ronald Reagan was shot, and within a month, the Pope was shot. Now, this man has connections to Germany, and the assailant, this Mahatma Ali Aj, shot at the Pope, not only had accomplices all over the world, but lived in Germany, had a German wife similar to this Mr. Daspach, and three or four times Germany refused to extradite him to Turkey. He had killed a liberal newspaper editor in Turkey and was wanted on a murder charge. And they knew that he was involved with a very far, far right Nazi group that I'll get into, farther right than the conservatives in that government. And that military junta that came in September of last year is a torturous, terrible regime. It was written up in the New York Times. Amnesty International had been attacking them. This guy is really going for the racks and the torture instruments such as the Shah of Iran had as against making somebody sit in a chair 5 days to be interrogated. The right gets farther right, and he belonged to that group. And I don't know how seriously whether this Daspach is to laugh at or not, but because he mentioned these things and said the priest would be next after Reagan, and it went in that order, I thought I would bring it up again. Now, as far as killing the Pope or shooting him, all the news media give questions, who would kill such a nice man at such a senseless shooting? First of all, none of these things are senseless. There's no such thing unless somebody's clinging a gun and it happens to go off and hit somebody, ricochet. These large assassinations are not senseless. And another point is that this Pope isn't universally loved. This is a PR of a lot of people pushing a man who looks good in a white flowing silk robe against a blue sky kissing babies. You can't be all bad if you're doing that and kissing the ground of the place where your airplane lands. But beyond that, when you shed the robes, I imagine stark naked, he's no different than Earl Warren. And Earl Warren was put into office by Murray Trotner and organized crime and the syndicate from way back. I'm not saying that he's all bad, but he has a lot of enemies. And because he has a sweet smile and a sweet face, it doesn't mean that some people don't want to shoot him. And the fact is that a lot of people did, and that this Ajit wasn't working alone, for sure. He walked out of a prison. He had help when he walked out of prison in Turkey. He was dressed as a military officer. He left a note because the Pope was coming to Turkey, and he threatened he would kill the Pope if he came. He didn't say when he would kill him. He left the letter there, and this is a New York Times article, May the 14th, the day after the shooting. He threatened if the Pope came to Turkey, he would kill him. And this is the quotation of what he had in the letter. Western imperialists are afraid of Turkey's unity of politics, military, and economic power with brotherly Islamic countries. And they are sending Crusader Commander John Paul under the mask of a religious leader. Now, a lot of Catholics would take issue of whether or not he is a religious leader or has a mask of being a religious leader. But whatever you think, Mr. Aji had another opinion, and I'm telling you what he said when he was let out by the Turkish police and said he would be out to kill the Pope. He said, if this ill-timed and meaningless visit of the Pope is not called off to Turkey, I will definitely shoot the Pope. That is the only reason I escaped from prison. Well, if that's the only reason he escaped, then it's the only reason they let him escape, because one policeman was just arrested for letting him out of the jail, and he did, in fact, get a pot shot at the Pope. He's talking about economic problems in Turkey, political, military, and economic. And when I get into the fourth motive for trying to shoot the Pope, which I think I have five motives, and I'll rule out several of them and go over them with you as much as time allows and continue in the next few weeks. Economic is a good reason, and I'll go into more depth than I have tonight on the narcotic war that has taken place in Turkey when Richard Nixon in 1971 paid the Turkish government between $30 million and $100 million to cut off the opium supply. He said, I'm going to have a war on drugs, and as he paid the Turkish government to cut off opium, he allowed the Shah of Iran to increase his poppy fields 50% more than anything Turkey would have, and he brought in narcotics from Southeast Asia and tried to dry up the hashish, heroin deals coming in from Lebanon, Afghanistan, Turkey, and that golden arch in that area. Richard Nixon was put in by organized crime, as I say, Murray Trotner and that gang. And in essence, it was really the Sicilian mafia that profited after World War II, or sent the CIA and the OSS mingled with British intelligence, German intelligence, Lucky Luciano, and began to tighten up their control of the narcotic market. Now, the Corsican market was going through Marseille, and this may get a little complicated in who shot the Pope, but the Corsican heroin came from Turkey. And in Richard Nixon's effort to bring in the White House plumbers and Lieutenant Conin and his own gang, he redirected the geography of the world for narcotic traffic, cutting off and drying up the Marseille-Corsican-Turkey connections while profiting at his end. Now, Richard Nixon was very close to Pope Paul VI, Montini, and I'll go into details later on that, and the Watergate clique and the investment of the Vatican money into the Watergate Hotel, the Pan Am building in Europe, the Gulf and Western, the Paramount Studios in Hollywood. Vatican money was taken by Pope Paul VI, who was the godfather and mentor of John Paul II. John Paul VI lived 33 days and was pushed out, and this mentor, the man who worked with him in Italy right after World War II with Montini when he was Secretary of the Vatican. This Pope had strong interlocking links, directly, personally, and otherwise, to the Richard Nixon, the Bibi Rebozo, the Sicilian, the Meyer Lansky, the Santos Traficanta, the Southeast Asian, and then developing the Colombian and the Bolivian and the Peru narcotics, and trying to strangle off the arch of the narcotics coming in from the Middle East, from Turkey and Lebanon, and strangling them and stopping the flow of those narcotics. During the period when Jimmy Carter was president and the Shah of Iran was out, I did many broadcasts on the narcotic war between the Carter clique, which was the Middle Eastern group. By letting the Shah out, our heroin and narcotics poured in this country 30% and 40% more than when before. And the Atlanta, Georgia, and this goes into the George Habash connections, because the minute Shah was arrested, he said, I work with George Habash. So in essence, I'm jumping the gun to possible motives, but I'm getting to the point, because when he left Turkey, he accused the United States of interfering with the economic rights and the imperialists coming in and interfering with their traffic. And when he accused John Paul of hiding under the mask of a religious leader, it would be hard to take all the accumulated evidence that's been in the news of the last 2 years of the Vatican right now to organized crime and wonder what in the heck the Vatican has to do with organized crime, narcotics, traffic, the Gambino family, and such. So when this Aji was left the Turkish jail, he'd been arrested for killing a liberal newspaper man. He belongs to the Gray Wolves, a fanatic right-wing group, but they also want America to lay their hands off of Turkey. Last week or the week before, Ronald Reagan said Turkey is vital to the United States. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. We want to squeeze it into our NATO alliance. We need Turkey. But I don't know if Turkey needs us, the Western world, anymore. You see, there are several facts that you have to understand in order to comprehend these conspiracies thoroughly. And again, it means throwing off a lot of illusions and a lot of BS you get from the news commentators and the establishment news, and reading as much as you can and figuring some of this out for yourself. The first fact about these assassination attempts on these various people is that the answers are there. I knew when I started 17 years ago to find out who killed John Kennedy, the answers were there. The network was there. Yes, it took a lot of hours, a lot of reading, a lot of studying. But when the House Select Committee came out a year ago and said there was a conspiracy to kill John Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and there were two gunmen at the grassy knoll, that wasn't new to us, and it wasn't new to you either, because all of you have heard this for years. And the frightening thing is the denial in the minds of people who just don't want to accept various truths about what is really happening in this world. They have to live with the consequences, but they don't want to study the truth. There was a five-part program this week on the life, or an interview with Lillian Hellman, political activist, a renowned writer. And an interesting question was asked to her by the young woman, who was a very good interviewer, and she said, what is strength? Do you believe that you're strong? She asked Lillian Hellman. And Lillian Hellman's answer was, strength is being able to figure things out for yourself. Now, why does that take strength? Because when you read things as they are, you get the ridicule of people. They call you a communist. They call you crazy. They ask your motives. They want to know where your money comes from, who your family is. They want to know everything, but what is your source of information, and can I figure it out for myself? So the answer to who shot JP or who shot Ronald Reagan or any of these other people is there if you want to know it. And the second fact is that through the years, we have been told that the sleeping giant is the Soviet Union. I was brought up in a home that said, Uncle Meyer always said, watch the big bear, watch the sleeping giant. And everybody watched Mount St. Helens, and they watched Soviet Union night and day. The Russians have this, the Russians don't have that. We're ahead in space, they have no oil. The economy is collapsing. We watch everything they do except what we're doing. And the truth of the matter is that the sleeping giant in the world isn't the Soviet Union at all. It's the Muslim Empire going from North Africa to the Philippines. They control two things. They have access to two things that absolutely make the world go around beyond anything else. One is oil and the other narcotics. If you have opium and heroin and poppies and the things that you can make from those and the hashish, if you have those two, you also can control the world as much as the United States or Great Britain. Great Britain used the opium to control all of China and Southeast Asia for years, and the French also. But once the Arabs realize in the Muslim world that it's theirs for their profit and you can take your hands off of it, they can shoot any religious leader they want or any political person they want because they own the two things we need. And with the profits of those, they can buy the farms, the foods, the banks, and have solid gold. You've got paper money that can be called in a few hours. They have solid gold that they have used with the profits from the oil and from the narcotics. And the tragedy is that we go through school not knowing an Arab, not knowing an Iranian, not knowing anything about the cultures, not wanting to know. The schools treating the Arabs and the sub-levels, the blacks, the yellows, the oranges, the reds, as if they're not worth knowing. We study American history. We study Napoleon. We study British Empire. We know about Henry VIII and how many wives and what he did to their heads. We know nothing about a culture which exists today. It exists with aeroplanes, with fighter planes, with highly skilled weapons and mobility and bank accounts, and they can buy anything they want. They are a fact of life that our children and grandchildren are going to live with. And ignoring them and believing that we have control over them is wrong, and we will have to pay our dues for being so ignorant. Now, when this Aja said that John Paul is, he said he's a crusader commander, John Paul under the mask of a religious leader. In the book, The Final Conclave, a section on how John Paul II came to power, it tells about his role in playing, in productions. On page 49, it tells about his clandestine theatrical performance, his conspiratorial university classes, his underground group collaborations, his necessity for underground theater, the Rhapsody Theater, and working as an actor and a co-producer, and his passion for acting, and his acting being fulfilled in his school dramatic societies, and again on page 47, his theatrical group. Well, at the same time in 1940 that this young Carol was in Nazi-occupied Poland and doing all of his underground theater work, Ronald Reagan was making his movies in 1942, 1940 at Warner Brothers with Errol Flynn. Errol Flynn was working for the Gestapo agent, and you can read The Untold Story by Charles Hyman, and I've done many references on that. So you take an overlay of years where one actor in Hollywood becomes president of the United States from Warner Brothers and rules the world and is a front man for forces much worse, if possible, that can remove him in seconds. He got the message, as did the Pope. And similar to the Godfather silencing. So you have one in a Rhapsody Theater, an actor in Poland under Nazi occupation in 1940, and you have an actor president of the United States who was making movies at the same time in Hollywood with Hitler's Gestapo. Hitler was in Poland and Hitler was in Hollywood, and both men thought they ruled the world. But under them and the people that selected those actors, there's blood and guts, and they're going for the jugular. So while they catapult these people in place, they better shape up or else. This Pope studied the theater and then went to Solvay Chemical and worked at a rock quarry, which was Auschwitz, and he worked for IG Farben, the chemical company that was exterminating the Jews. And I've done programs on this. Now, the fact is, as I said before, that these PR jobs on people like Earl Warren and Nixon and Reagan or the Pope sell the product. But how long will it work before some of their background and their career and the way they came to power, the tangled web of the Vatican in the OSS, and then it became the CIA. The Vatican has been it allowed itself to become a branch of U.S. intelligence. And with that comes exploitation of populations, divisions of countries and their resources. And when you take religious institutions, whether it's Israel, and I can do many hours on Israel, or the Mormon Church, or the Vatican, but it was the Pope who was shot, and we're talking about the Vatican. When you tangle yourself with intelligence operations that are killing political leaders wanted by the majority, when you tangle yourself with bloodbaths of native populations, and you are linked to mob connections and mob-related profits that were necessary to put you in office, then you have to take the bullet when the bullet flies. That's why Ronald Reagan was blessing his alleged assassin, nearby assassin, and that's why the Pope was blessing the man, his assailant. One of the first things they asked was about their assailants, and both of them were very anxious to speak up and make sure that no hard feelings. This wasn't because that Reagan and Pope John Paul are so gracious and godlike. Ronald Reagan's first thing statement was, Hinckley comes from such a nice family. There's a marvelous article I'll go into detail in another week or two, but you can read in the meantime by Thomas Satz, May the 6th, 1981, in the Washington Post. Reagan should let the jurors decide and the judges decide on Hinckley. How does he know he was a nice family? How does he know he has a problem? Maybe the solution was to shoot Reagan. How does he know anything about the family? Maybe they wanted George Bush as president. Reagan said the family must be devastated. And this well-known, famous psychiatrist, Thomas Satz, how does he know that the family's devastated at all? They're about to move to Guatemala, and Guatemala is about to go into a bloodbath and wipe out the Indians and the native population, and the father's linked to the defense and CIA and defense offices, the AID. How do you know all these things? So John Paul immediately said, sent a message, the Pope harbors no resentment but is showing understanding and forgiveness for his assailant. And Ronald Reagan says, I feel sorry for the man. He must have such a nice family. Well, one of the first things that Jah said when he shot was, is the Pope alive? I didn't mean to kill him or I would have emptied my barrel. Well, what these two guys got was a message. You saw the Godfather with a horse in the head. They didn't kill the man who was going to climb into bed. They put a horse's head into his bed. Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II didn't get their cling, and the decisions they make will be made for them. And I assure you, and I'll talk about it many times in the future, that I assure you they got that message with the bullet holes in their body. They got it very loud and clear. But we have our illusions here, and until you break them, you can't ever find the truth. And what I'm talking about on these programs is my 17 years of research of where are the truths and where do you find them and how do you know when a journalist is lying or the police are covering up. There was an article in the Monterey Herald this last week that didn't go over the major wire services, a good article on terror on the right. It says, the Pope attack shows that terror is universal, as likely from the right as left. It's written by their foreign correspondent in Europe, Fernand Aubergenois. And he talks about the complications of trying to blame the left for every assassination team. He says, at a time when the U.S. senators are trying to study in their House Internal Committee the links of terrorism in Moscow, one of the most dramatic incidents in history of terrorism involves a murderer sentenced to death in absentia whose associates were men of the extreme right. Now, if Aubergenois did his homework, he would learn, as I have learned, that Lee Harvey Oswald and James Earl Ray and Sirhan Sirhan and Arthur Bremer and Squeaky Fromm and Sarah Jane Moore and John Hinckley Jr. and Mark David Chapman and the Manson family and the SLA all came from the right. And as soon as they recognize this and have just a few more juicy murders or these people die or a few more leaders are killed, they're going to catch on where the terrorism has come. It's come from the same city, the same place in Chile. One of the first words he said when he was arrested, Jah, besides asking about the Pope, he said, Chile and George Habash. And he let you know that this is a right-wing terrorist group of the worst kind, the farthest right. And does it come as a shock to the journalists all of a sudden to see that this isn't coming from the Soviet Union, that the right wing has assassins? Jack Anderson has written about Operation Condor, the Chilean operation team from Colonial Dignidad in Chile. Why can't other people in this country catch on? And why do they have to act so innocent when the bullets fly? Oh, we have assailants from the right wing. We better look again. Well, we'll take a half minute break. And I'll get back with you some more on some of the motives and ideas behind the shooting of John Paul II.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.